Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Go with me to Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 23 and ending at verse 23. Praise God for His Word. And the Word of God reads, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." I want to talk about continue in the faith. Continue means to remain, to continue in, to abide, to stay with. That's what continue means. And when Paul was talking to the Colossians, which they were born-again believers, he was telling them, this is what you have to do. You have to continue in the faith. I don't know about you. There are a lot of things that we go through while we're here on this earth. There's a lot of things that occur. There's a lot of things that happen. One day it may be good. The next day it may be bad. Some of us have up and down days. But today God wants to encourage you to continue in the faith. And when Paul was talking to the Colossians, I want you to make this real and know that God is talking to you through this word, because this is His word. And when He had me to look at this continuing in the faith, in John 15, verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you." That continue in the faith means that you continuing in what you have heard concerning Jesus Christ. That means your faith is in Him and Him alone. That means that you're depending on His faith. You're believing in Him, not in yourself. You're not believing on your own righteousness, on your own holiness. You're believing on His righteousness and His holiness, because your righteousness and your holiness cannot get you to heaven. It's based upon Him. Everything that we do as born-again believers is based upon Jesus Christ. It's not based upon anyone else except Him. And this is what we have to be mindful of, because in life we base things on our ability, on what we are capable of doing or how we need to do it. But today God said He wants you to totally depend on what Jesus have done. Jesus have done everything that needs to be done, and we need to know what He has done so we can depend on Him more than we're dependent on ourselves. So when He was talking to those Colossians, He was letting them know, stay with, abide in, remain. He said, I want you to continue in the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and not in yourself. And John 15, 4 said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So this is what this is talking about. When He said abide in me, He said, I want you to remain in me. To remain in someone is, you can't remain in someone if you haven't heard about them. And you can't remain in someone if you're not putting your faith in them. And God has given all of us the measure of faith. When we believe the things concerning what the Word says, He had to give us His faith on the inside of us in order for us to believe it. Because some people say, this is just unreal. And that's why we operate in the supernatural and not in the natural. So He said, if you abide in me and I in you. So when we're abiding in Him, we're looking at Him as the vine. And you know, when there's a vine, there's branches attached to the vine. If that branch is cut off from that vine, that means it loses all nourishment and it dies. So when we cut ourselves off from Jesus, even though that we're born again, we can cut ourselves off from that vine, because when we depend on our ability, that means we're saying we don't believe that Jesus has done it, or we don't believe that this is what he's going to do in our lives. So many of us are cutting ourselves off from that branch because we don't want to wait on the Lord. We want something when we want it. We don't want to take the time when the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on him. And when you wait on him, you got to be of a good courage, knowing that he will strengthen your heart. Everything that we need is in him and him alone. And he has everything that we need. So he's the vine. We're the branches. We cannot cut ourselves off from him. When we cut ourselves off from him, we die spiritually. And it's many of us that are dying spiritually every day is because we're dependent on self-righteousness. We're dependent on our holiness. But your self-righteousness and your holiness is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. You have to depend on his righteousness and his holiness. I'm holy because he's holy. And I'm not holy because it's based upon me, but it's based upon him. But in order to walk in holiness, you got to know that that holiness that you have is something that you didn't conjure up. It's something that was given to you through the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is your new identity now that you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that continue mean that I'm abiding in him. I'm remaining in him. I'm not going to be cut off from him because of things that's happening in my life. Come on, day by day, things happen. And we catch ourselves being gradually cut off from that vine until the point of we're not hearing what he has to say. We're not hearing what the word of God is saying to us. Some people have a problem hearing him. The reason why you have a problem hearing him is because you don't cut yourself off from him. How did you cut yourself off from him? You're more sensitive to what's going on around you than to the things of God. Some people say, I can't hear him, Pastor, like I need to hear him. It's just like I'm hearing more other things than I'm hearing him. The reason why is because your heart has become hardened to the things of the world more than the things of God. You're hearing more what the world is doing instead of what the word of God says that you need to be doing. When you cut yourself off, that means that you're saying, I know that I'm born again, but I just don't feel saved no more. It's not about a feeling. When you go on feeling, you're going on the natural. You got to go on the supernatural. You got to go past how you feel. I may not feel like I'm saved today, but I know that I'm saved. I know that I have committed myself to him. I know that I'm leaning and depending on him. So I can't go on how I feel. I can't go on because I'm oppressed to say, I just don't feel safe. I know that I know that I know that a change took place, and it took place in my spirit. It didn't take place in my soul. So don't let nobody change your mind. That's why you got to continue. You got to remain. Don't let people cut you off from the vine, because that's when you lose your spiritual nourishment. Don't be cut off. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be cut off. And this is why I say you have to separate yourself from things that's trying to cut you off from whom you believe and what you believe. And if you can't separate yourself, that means that you're putting more trust in that person and in that thing more than you putting it in God. See, when you make a connection with him, it says that we're joined with him. We're one with him in the spirit. We're joined. We're cleaved unto him. And if I'm cleaved unto somebody, no one or no thing can take me away from whom I trust and whom I believe. That means that you remain. That's like a husband and wife whom he have joined together. Let no man separate. That means no man or nothing should be able to separate that union. Why? Because God joined them together. It wasn't man. It was God that joined them. God is just using man to say, repeat after me. He's using them as the instrument. But when you come before a man, you should know already it is God that's doing this thing. I'm standing before God. You're just a mere man that God is using. I already had my mind made up before I hit this altar whom God has joined. So when you're joined unto him, that means that you're cleaving to him with everything that's within you, and nothing should be able to separate you. And then God began to show me in Romans 4:3, this is dealing with Abraham. It said, for what says the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. To believe means to trust in him as willing and able to help and answer prayers. So this belief is the same thing as we're looking at to continue in the faith. That means that you're putting your dependency in him. You're not putting it in yourself. So Abraham knew that his righteousness was not based upon what Abraham could do. His righteousness was based upon believing, depending, trusting in God. So as he began to trust God, he didn't have to be circumcised. The only thing he did was put his trust in God, so his dependency was not on him. It said that he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That means that he was remaining with, he was staying with, he was abiding in, he was remaining in him. And that's what we have to do. So that continue is showing you how you got to continue, stay with, abide with, remain in him. You don't want nothing to cut you off from whom you trust or whom you believe. Come on, in the natural world, somebody can tell you a lie. And even though it's a lie, and somebody else began to tell you the truth, you refuse to believe that that person was lying. You refuse to believe it. You know why? Because you're clinging to that person. And if you cling to that person, you're going to cling to that lie. Because you believe in, oh, that person won't do that. That person won't lie to me. That person loves me. Surely they're telling the truth. Even though you know that it was a lie, you don't want to accept it as a lie. You accept it as the truth. Why? Because you done been with that person so long. You have grown to know that person. You have a relationship with that person. And you said, surely my husband or my wife would not have done that. You know, I have watched some true stories on television where the people would think that the husband wouldn't kill the wife or the wife wouldn't kill the husband. Oh, they were so bonded. Everywhere you saw him, you saw her. They loved each other so much. Surely that wife didn't kill that husband. But all the evidence added up to what she done. And people say, no, 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 that's not true. That's not true. They didn't do this. But finally they found out that it was true. That's because people went on what they saw in the natural. They weren't going on the hardcore evidence. They were just looking at them naturally and how they acted in public. Come on, we can act like we love the Lord. And some of our acts is dancing. Some of our acts is shouting out. Some of our acts is falling on the floor. But I'm going to tell you, you got to shut up one day and you got to get off the floor one day. And when you get off the floor one day and you leave out of the house of God, let's see how you're acting outside. See, things begin to change once you get from around people. See, the continue that I'm talking about is through hell or high water, whatever you're going through on earth, you can continue, you can remain, you can stay with through everything people are saying about you. And what you believe, you can continue, you can stay with, you can abide in him. That means I'm trusting more in him than I'm in myself. Ask your neighbor, say, are you there yet? Say, are you there yet? Are you continuing? Are you abiding? Are you sticking with? Are you cleaving to Jesus? And then the next part of that verse says, since we broke down continue in the faith, that means that I'm having my faith in him and him alone. I'm trusting in him and him alone. But then there's another word that they use that I like. It said, if you continue in the faith, ground it. Let's talk about ground it. See, this is how you know you're really continuing. Grounded means you're laying a foundation. A foundation was made. This is what you're founded upon. And the foundation that was made is Jesus Christ. See, when a house is built, there has to be a foundation that's laid first. If there is no foundation, that house will not stand. So that house has to be built upon a foundation. So Jesus is our foundation. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians the third chapter. Let's look at that. In 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, Paul began to talk to the Corinthians. And I'm going to tell you something. That Corinthian church was tore up. It was tore up. And if you began to read what was going on in the book of Corinthians, you would see how they were acting. They were saved folk. Come on, we saved too, amen? But in the beginning of this, Paul began to tell them, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither ye now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. And this is what Paul was saying, the reason why they were carnal Christians. He said, among you is envy, strife, and divisions. Are ye not yet carnal and walk as mere men? And walk as men? So this was what Paul was telling the Corinthians. He said, y'all are still carnal because there's division among you. Why is there division? Because there's envy. And envy means there's jealousy. He said, then there, where jealousy is, there's strife, and then there's division. And see, this is what the enemy wants to do in the house of God. If he can get jealousy in the house, he knows strife is going to be in the house. He knows if strife is there, there's going to be division in the house. I have seen some people in the house of God, in churches, in congregation, have a lot of people, but there's a divided house. There are some that say in this side ain't right, and that side ain't right, because they got their own ideas. They coming up with what somebody said and don't even really know it's the truth, so they begin to have division amongst them. So Paul said, if you have that amongst you, if there's jealousy, if there's strife, if there's division, it is because you're carnal. You're still carnal. You're still babes. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to grow up. Say, it's time to grow up. See, when you're growing in Christ, when you're growing in grace, you don't put up with that foolishness. You don't let the enemy be talking to you all kinds. See, I'm still talking about continuing in the faith. You don't let the enemy talk that foolishness to you of hearsay, she said. You don't be putting up walls in the house of God, because when you put up walls of offense, guess what? The enemy is dividing you against the people of God, against your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't do these things. And if you keep doing these things, that means that you're carnal. You're still a babe. You haven't grown up yet. Y'all, we're not children no more. Miracle Temple, it shouldn't be children amongst you. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You should be off the milk, and you should be on some strong meat. And this is what Paul was saying, and this is what they were doing, and this is what's happening in the churches. They were looking at Paul and Apollos. They were saying this right here. For while one say, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? See, what they were doing, this is what was happening. Paul was the one that came and laid the foundation concerning Jesus Christ. Apollos came and built upon what was laid. But then he said, some of y'all is going on Paul, some of y'all are going on Apollos. He said, we're just men. He said, the increase comes from God. And you're looking at us. See, we're separating people in the church. Let's say one teacher teach this day, another teacher teach that day. Then some say, I'm going to go with this teacher. Some say, I'm going with that teacher. Come on, we serve the same God. Everybody should be saying the same thing. It shouldn't be where you go in here and you go in there. It's one faith, one baptism, and one Lord. So this is where the divisions come in the church. I'm of this one, I'm of that one. No, I'm of God. Who you should be of. And he said, Paul went on to tell them, he said, I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God, he gave the increase. And this is the foundation that Paul laid in verse 10. He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, who gave him the grace to do it? God gave it to him, and he made that known. He said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is that foundation that we should be founded upon. It is that foundation that is laid. So that's what it means to be grounded. You got to be so grounded in him that no matter what comes, you ain't moved. And some of us have not gotten there yet. Because when people gossip, you moved. When people pull up a fence, you moved. When people are jealous, you move. Come on. When people backbite, you move. When you think people looking at you wrong, you move. You don't stay with. You don't continue in. You don't remain there. You move. Why? You still carnal. You still a babe. And you think you all grown up because you know the scriptures. Why are you moving? Because of something you heard. Come on, it may shake you a little bit, but if you are on a firm foundation, if you're grounded with that foundation, come what may, I'm not moving on what I believe. I'm not moving on whom I have faith in. Uh-oh. So, whoop, there it is. So we got to continue in the faith. We got to be grounded in that faith. And he showed me another scripture in Matthew 7:24 and 25. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, you don't only hear, but you do. If you hear something, that's what you act upon, what you heard. Amen? Just like a boss, when he give you instructions on your job, did you not hear them? Are you going to go sit down and not do them? No, you know why you doing it? Come on, let's be real. You want to get paid. You don't want to get fired. You think about all them bills you accumulated, and you say, I got to do this. But when it comes to a man or woman of God in the house of God, sometimes we have a problem taking instructions when it comes from God. Amen? We have that problem because we think, oh, they think I'm going to give them my money. Oh, they think I'm going to do this. They think I'm going to do that. See, that's why where pride is, there is a fall. You're trying to be a know-it-all. You think you know everything. But when the boss tell you to jump, jump, how high? Because you're looking to that boss for money. But when you come in the house of God and you're getting the true word of God, we have a problem of hearing to that. Why? Because you brought the devil in with you and you made up your mind that you're only going to do what you want to do and not what the word tells you to do. There's a problem. So he goes on to say, it says, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. See, a wise man is going to build his house upon a rock. Y'all know the rock we're talking about is Jesus Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. See, when you are dependent upon Jesus, which is your rock, he's the rock of your salvation. When you're dependent on him, when your life is founded upon him, when situations come in your life, you are not so quick to be moved because you have been founded upon that rock. And I'm here to tell you, to be founded upon that rock is not just starting out with confessing with your mouth. You know, we confess with our mouth because we say we believe on the Lord Jesus and we confess because it's in our heart. But let me tell you when the true test comes. The true test comes when situations come in your life. That's when you really know if you found it upon that rock. That's when you really know if you can stand, doing all to stand, because you're not basing it upon you. You're basing upon that rock, which is Jesus Christ. You're basing it upon that foundation which was laid. This is why I tell Miracle Temple, you have to develop your relationship with him. I'm not talking about with people. See, as a pastor, I'm here to help you, but I can't help you but so much. What I mean is when I come up here and I give you the word, I'm giving you what the Spirit of the Lord want me to bring to you. And as I bring that to you, in order for you to develop your relationship, see, each time I get in the word, I'm developing my relationship. My relationship is growing. I'm getting more intimacy with God, and I'm getting more stronger in the faith that I have in him by going in the word. If you're not in that word, when you begin to taste this word that I'm bringing across the pulpit and it make you feel good for that moment, it's only going to last for a moment. But I want to taste and see how the Lord is good every day, not just one day. I want to get a taste of this word every opportunity that I get. Why? Because when things come in my life, I don't want to be so easily persuaded. I don't want to be so easily moved. See, this is what the enemy wants. He wants you to be moved by what you hear. He wants you to be moved by what you see. But if you're founded upon that rock, and if that foundation was laid in your life, if you have accepted him as your Lord and your Savior with your whole heart, you cannot be so easily moved. God is saying, my people are so easily moved because they are not really grounded. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, are you grounded? Say, are you grounded? Or are you so easily moved? Oh, this is just so good. Y'all, I just love the word. And guess what? I'm only dealing with this one verse. See, when you deal with one verse and you go in the Bible and you break it on down, break it on down, God will take you through the word and show you exactly what he's talking about. And y'all, through every one of these verses, I had to sit there and deal with me and say, God, have I been moved? Have I been easily persuaded? Yes. Feet, hands, everything up. Through the years, as you grow in the Lord, you do get shaken. And if anybody say they haven't, you are lying. Because there are things that shake you. There are things that will rock the house. Come on. about what's coming because you know where your help coming from. That's why it says that you have to look to the hills from which cometh your help. And your help cometh from the Lord. And if you're sure about that, and if you can quote that, that means that you found it. That means that you're grounded in the word. And he showed me another scripture in the Bible. Y'all remember old Moses when the people were thirsty and God told him, I want you to strike that rock with that rod that's in your hand. See, that rod that was in his hand represented power. It represented the authority that God had given him to use with that rod. He struck that rock. That rock was Jesus. See, God said, I want you to depend on this rock to give you some water. Come on, in the natural, Brother Willie, you like, for real? For real? Water going to come out of that rock? See, that's natural. But what did God say? He said, hit it. You're going to hit that rock and you're going to believe in who? In the word that was given to you by God. See, God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. See, you got to understand things that would be foolish to you. God said that's where your wisdom comes from, out of those foolish things. See, a man that's so wise, he don't want to look foolish. So this is why God said, he told Moses, he said, I want you to strike that rock. And when he hit that rock, guess what? Water come out of that rock. And that water represents the word of God. God said, you're getting a refreshing today, not only from the water, but from the word, because Jesus is the word. So you got to understand that each time you go into this word, you're going into the foundation that was laid. And as you go in there, you're getting a refreshing. You're getting revived. You're getting restored. You're getting replenished. And he said, whoever is hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they shall be filled. So each time you go in this word, you need to say, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up until I don't want no more. Sometimes when I'm in the word, I have to get up and walk the floor and say, wait a minute, God, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. It be feeling so good. And I say, okay, give it to me. Have you ever felt like that before? And I guess some people think you're crazy when you get like that. You're just feeling God just bringing up, wait, wait. Then you stop and say, give it to me. And it feels so good when he's giving it to you. And at the moment that he's giving it to you, you just can't tell it like he gave it to you. I be ready to tell, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Then I think about it and say, wait a minute. There's so much. There's so much. Where can I start? Because it feels so, so good. Y'all, that's that intimacy. That's when God said, I'm going to rock your world today. Come on, rock me. Rock me, God. Tilt me over. See, when I'm in that study and in that chair, I'd be like, oh, God. Then I get in a position. I'm ready for some more. Then I'm, oh, God. Then I'm catching myself leaning. Then I say, let me sit up. Y'all heard it, please? The word is just that good. You see, God, fill me up. I want to overflow. I want to know that I know that. I've been with you, and see, when I come out, there should be a change. There should be a shifting. This is what I don't understand. Someone that's very boastful or very jealous that say they're spending time with God and they still that way, you can't be with the same God I've been with because you're supposed to be apologizing. You're supposed to repent. You're supposed to turn from that. You're supposed to be humbling yourself up under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt you in due season. It don't matter if nobody never apologized. See, I have been in the presence of the Lord. It don't matter if you smack me on the left, smack me on the right. God has put me in the right direction.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Post Office Box 1042, Burgal, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.